We're going to go ahead and get started. 1 Kings 14. We're going to continue to travel through the divided kingdom. And one of the issues that we come across is that Jeroboam and Rehoboam, of course, being kings of Israel and Judah. Jeroboam was the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, and Rehoboam, king of Judah, the southern kingdom. We see in 1 Kings 14, in verse number 1, that Abijah is the son of Jeroboam, and he actually reigned about 3 years. He was sick. When we consider Abijah, Abijah was not a good man. As a matter of fact, we're going to see that those in the northern kingdom were not good men at all. Go to chapter 15 and we notice that Abijam. Now, if you're not careful, you'll read Abijah in that. But it's Abijam, it ends with an M. And he is the second king of Judah. Now, notice what this man did in verse number 3 of 1 Kings 15. He walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem. Remember, we discussed this on Wednesday. God was going to continue to take care of the southern kingdom, or Judah. Remember, Jesus was going to be that lion out of the tribe of Judah. Judah was going to be that lineage that Jesus Christ was going to be coming through. Look at verse 9, and this is really where we want to be for a little bit, and then we'll look at some other things. We see Asa, in the 20th year of Jeroboam. Remember, Jeroboam is king of Israel. Asa became king of Judah. Now, Asa is the third king of Judah. He reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. And if you want to put in your Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 16. You'll look in all of those verses and you'll see that Asa's death, he died a good man and they gave him a proper burial. But that's neither here nor there right now. I want us to take note of what Asa did before we go into the kings of Israel. Remember, he's a king of Judah. Verse 10, he reigns 41 years in Jerusalem. Notice his grandmother, his name was Maacah, the granddaughter of Abishalom. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord as his father David. That's key. And he banished the Sodomites. Your version may say perverted persons. He banished the Sodomites from the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. Also, he removed his grandmother, Maacah, from being queen mother. Here is the reason why. Because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. Now, that's the New King James Version. Obscene. Now, you look that up, and it's very, very powerful. Asherah was a Canaanite goddess. And if you was to Google some images of this Canaanite goddess, it's obscene. She made an image of an obscene woman. She is the Canaanite god. I think about that, and I think about sometimes people are making obscene photos today. And we even have some who are trying to validate and protect the drawing of obscene photos and people, nudity. I thought this was a very good, very interesting point right here, that he put her out because of this, which means that when we consider obscene images, idols, they're wrong in the sight of God. Notice, and Asa cut down her obscene image and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was loyal to the Lord all his days. This goes to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. He was a devout man. He was a loyal man. He loved the Lord. He did that which was right. He got rid of the sodomites, got rid of the idolatry. He did what God wanted him to do. This is the third king of Judah. His name is Asa. And you'll find it very interesting that for 41 years, he is faithful to God. 41. But we're going to notice something that's very tragic. In the northern kingdom, in Israel, they're going to have seven kings from the time of Asa's, beginning of Asa's reign to his death. Seven. And every last one of them, friends, were evil. They did that which was wrong. Let's take notice of that, because this is really where I want our study to go, because there's great application for us. Great application. Number one, we see in verse number 25, we see the second king of Israel, Nadab, verse 25 of the chapter 15. The son of Jeroboam, notice, the son of Jeroboam became king over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. And notice what he did. He did evil in the sight of the Lord. And notice, and walked in the way of his father and in his sin by which he had made Israel sin. Well, what did Jeroboam do? Y'all remember? What did Jeroboam do? Anyone remember? Sir? He set up idols. Where did he set them up? Ma'am? But there's two specific places where he set them up. Where did he set them up? Dan and Bethel. Dan and Bethel. And why did he set those up? Okay, but also, and that's right, but there's a little bit more to it. All right, it was too much for them, but it was some more. What else? Come on. What? Y'all remember? Anybody remember? But why did he set up the gods, the idols, in Bethel and Dan? No, why? Why? He didn't want them to turn back to God. That's important. That's very important. He didn't just set these up just to be set them up. He set them up. He didn't want their hearts to be turned toward the Lord. But if they wasn't turned toward the Lord, and then he says, these are the gods that brought you up out of Egypt. Well, that was the same foolishness that Aaron and those people did when they came out of Egyptian bondage. And Moses was up on the mount with God, receiving the law. You remember that? The same thing. So it's vitally important for us to keep that in mind when we look at these seven kings and how they all walk in the ways of their father or in the ways of Jeroboam. Which teaches us, by way of application, that you can repeat the problems of the past. It does matter who is in front of God's people. If Mike Bonner is not living right, not teaching right, Mike Bonner shouldn't be in front of God's people by no stretch of the imagination. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Know why I say that? Because as God's people, sometimes we compromise and we allow people who shouldn't be in front of them to be in front of them. Jeroboam was an evil man and God called him evil, and it's all right to call evil when God calls it evil. Look at Isaiah 5 verse 20. Let me prove that point. In Isaiah 5 in verse number 20, as we prove that point that I just made, so I know y'all know that I'm not just talking out the side of my neck, but it's good to hear what God says. In Isaiah 5 and verse number 20, notice what your Bible says. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Friends, that's a very clear passage. And the reason why is because God is good, Psalm 73 and verse 1. But go back to Nadab and look at verse 26. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, which means that evil can be identified. And in this case, he walked in the way of his father and in his sin by which he had made Israel sin. So Nadab, the second king of Israel, he sinned. He did that which was wrong. And we know what he had to have done. He had to have caused the people to commit idolatry, because that's exactly what Jeroboam did. When people are committing idolatry, especially during the time in which we're thinking about here in the context, is that the leader, Jeroboam, or the king, is causing them not to look to God for their spiritual resources and to look to some idol. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse number 4, idols are nothing. They're absolutely nothing. Notice the second one. Look at verse number 33. Verse number 33. Now you go back and you read the rest of some of the things in which these kings did, but I want to look at these seven kings and then I want us to kind of talk about it. What I did was in my Bible, I highlighted every time I saw the phrase and walked in the way of his father and in his sin, which he had made them sin. And I put a little highlighted blue highlighter and says walked in the way of Jeroboam to identify what these men did. In the third year of Asa, remember Asa's king of Judah, he reigned 41 years, and notice, by Baasha, the son of Ahijah, became king over all Israel and Tizraz, which is a bank of the Palestinian area, the hills of Samaria. And he reigned 24 years. Now notice, 24 years of reigning over God's people in Israel, not Judah, but Israel. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin by which he had made Israel sin. A perpetuation of idolatry. Why is this so important for us to understand? Because if even God's people today, if God's people are not careful, you can hire the wrong man. You can get the wrong man in front of you, and the next thing you know, it's a snowball effect, and you got the wrong man in front of you, the wrong man in front of you, the wrong man in front of you, and it takes years to bounce back from false doctrine. But we gotta know what is true, and we gotta know what is false. Here, these kings were causing the people to go astray. Notice verse number 1 of chapter 16. I'm just gonna read just a little bit of this. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha. Now, this is powerful because even though the northern kingdom was going to be going into Assyrian captivity, they were going to be losing their identity. And really, that's what it means to go into captivity. You lose your identity with God. You adapt to the society that is around you. And in that particular case, they were going to be adapting to Assyria later on. Not yet, but a later on. But these individuals have adapted themselves to idolatry. They were not adapting themselves to God, following God, but God, because of his love for his people, he still sent prophets. He still sent representatives, if you will, to demonstrate to them, hey, I need you to turn. I need you to turn from your evil way. Notice what he says in verse number 2. Insomuch as I lifted you out of the dust, and made you a ruler over my people Israel, and you have walked in the way of Jeroboam and have made my people Israel sin to provoke me to anger with their sins. Surely I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. The dog shall eat whatever belongs to Baasha and dies in the city. And the birds of the air shall eat whatever or whoever dies in the field. Now the rest of the acts of Baasha, what he did and his might, and they, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles? And if you go to, the Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 16 verse number 11, you'll find this particular story right here. So Baasha rested with his fathers, was buried in Tirzah. Then Elah, his son, reigned in his place. Now, Elah is going to be the fourth king of Israel. Let's notice something about him. And also the word of the Lord came by the prophet Jehu, son of Hanani, against Baasha and his house, because all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord, in provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, in being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed them. Now notice, Elah is just like his father. Here, Baasha is just like Nadab, and Nadab is just like Jeroboam. We have these evil leaders in front of God's people. Just evil. But there's something that we need to take notice of in verse number 7. Notice the latter part of verse number 7, after he did the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord. Notice, in provoking him to anger. Question. Did idolatry provoke God to anger then? Yes or no? Will idolatry provoke God to anger today? What is idolatry? Let's talk about that for a second. Because we don't have a bunch of little gods. We're not like these people per se, right? What are some idols that people have today? Sir? Buddha? What else? Ma'am? All right. Anyone else? Themselves? Yes. Sports? Money? What else? Sir? Covetousness? Colossians 3:5, which is idolatry? God told Israel in Exodus chapter 20, have no what before me? Mm-hmm. Literally in the Hebrew, nothing around me. Nothing around me. It's not that you can have God in the front and then have a little gods behind him. No, no gods whatsoever. Here we see that Baasha did the same thing that Nadab did, and Elah, we're going to see, did the same thing. Look at verse number 8. In the 26th year of Asa, of Judah, king of Judah, Elah, the son of Baasha, became king over Israel and reigned 2 years in Tirzah. Now his servant Zimri, commander of half his chariots, conspired against him. He was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of his house in Tirzah. And Zimri went in and struck him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his place. Now notice the attitude. We don't find any of this madness going on in Judah whatsoever. Asa is a great king. He has done mighty works already. And notice what the Bible here says in verse number 13. For all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah, his son, by which they had sinned and by which they had made Israel sin, in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? The answer is yes, they are written there. You'll go there and you'll see exactly what he did in causing the people of God to go even further and further away from God, if that's even the case. Is it even possible to move further and further away from God? It is. It really is. Jesus on one occasion was talking to a man and said that you're not far from the kingdom, which implies that you can be far from the kingdom. The kingdom is church, Matthew 16, 18 and 19. Look at verse 15. We come Zimri. In the 27th year, why is Asa always the one that is esteemed, if you will, as a barometer? He's a good king. All right. So here you have these kingdoms and they're going side by side, if you will. And you have Judah and you have Israel. You got 10 tribes. You got 2 tribes. And really, if you want to be technical, you have Judah and Benjamin and Manasseh, if you want to be technical. But you have the 2 tribes. So we know that. But notice what he says in verse number 15. In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, Zimri, 5th king, had reigned in Tirzah 7 days. And the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines. Now the people who were encamped heard it said, Zimri has conspired and also has killed the king. So all Israel made Omri, the commander of the army, king over Israel that day in the camp. Then Omri and all Israel with him went up to Gibbethon, and they besieged Tirzah. And it happened when Zimri saw that the city was taken that he went into the citadel of the king's house and burned the king's house down upon himself with fire and died because of the sins which he had committed in doing evil in the sight of the Lord and walking in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin which he had committed to make Israel sin. It's interesting what sin will make you do. This man committed suicide. What's the problem with this man right here? You had Omri, you had the rest of the people of Israel, they about to come and besiege and take over. He couldn't take it. Well, that's the way he got it. Friends, there's no way that we can indulge in sin and think that our minds are not going to be captivated and overtaken. There's no way. And that's why it's beautiful to have the Word of God. It's beautiful to have the church. It's beautiful to have the Savior. It's beautiful to have a right mind, a steady mind, a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. It's beautiful to have that. But when a person's mind is not right, and the way that I was thinking about this, I was thinking, these kings, why would they do this? Why would they set up golden calves? Why would they set up idolatrous locations? Why would they do that to cause the people to sin? Could it be that they wanted to be the one that was esteemed and not God? If God says we do it this way, shouldn't we do it that way? Another thing is this. Could it be, could it be that they have gotten so far away from the law that they wouldn't even opening up the scrolls? They were just doing things the way that they thought it should be done. Well, this is the way that Jeroboam did it, and this is the way that Nadab did it, and this is the way that Baasha did it, and this is the way that Elah did it, and this is the way that we're gonna do it. Yes. And I probably was giving them too much credit doing that. Because usually, when you see situations like this, they're not even thinking about what God wants. They're just doing what they want. Yes, ma'am. Well, another thing we have to also keep in mind that because of the sin of Solomon, the kingdom was going to be divided. And we have Jeroboam who was going to be causing the people to sin, God knew exactly what was going to happen, and this was going to happen. And the problem we have with this is that these men didn't learn at all. They didn't learn. It's interesting, Romans 15:4, the things that are written aforetime, written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. In essence, God is saying, hey, I've left you an example of what not to do, 1 Corinthians 10. It's interesting when you consider biblical authority, we have examples of what we ought to be doing. We have Abraham and Isaac and Jacob of individuals lifted up as what we ought to be doing. And then you have biblical examples of what we should not do, which is a dissuasive example. 1 Corinthians 10, when they were committing idolatry and unbelief and God lifted them up as an example in 1 Corinthians 10. Don't do that. Don't do that. I remember as a kid growing up, mom and dad used to always say, you saw what your brother just did? Yes, ma'am. Don't you do that. You get it too. Think about it. You know, sometimes we do our kids a disservice when we don't discipline them and tell our other kids, you see what I did to him? I'll do it to you. Friends, that's nothing tragic about that. God, that's how God teaches. These individuals didn't learn. Notice Omri. Omri is the sixth king. Verse number 21. Matter of fact, look at verse 20 real quick. Let me throw this in. Now the rest of the acts of Zimri and the what? The New King James Version uses treason. He committed. What's treason? Come on, somebody. Okay. Come on, y'all. He rebelled against the law. He rebelled against the king. And you know what? God didn't overlook that. God did not overlook that. And the treason he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Yes, they are. Verse 21, Omri. Then the people of Israel were divided into two parts. Half of the people followed Tibnah, the son of Ginath, to make him king, and half followed Omri. But the people followed Omri prevailed over the people who followed Tibnah, son of Ginath. So Tibnah died and Omri reigned. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, Asa's still reigning. He's still ruling. He's still right. He's still doing what God wants him to do. You know what this also teaches us? Is that even though you have a group that's over there and they're committing idolatry and doing their own thing and walking according to their own understanding, Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, I can be faithful even though I can see them over there not doing what God says. Now that's good teaching. Friends, we don't have to fall prey just because others are. We got to remain on the straight and narrow path, and that's what Asa did. Notice, what verse was I at? 23? Okay. So I got to talking and lost myself. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, Omri became king over Israel and reigned 12 years. 6 years he reigned in Tirzah. And he bought the hill of Samaria. Now that's a very, very historical point, especially when you keep in mind John chapter 4 and Acts chapter 8. This is a very historical point right here. He bought the hill of Samaria from Shemer for 2 talents of silver. Then he built on the hill and called the name of the city which he built what? There's your background right there. That's a good historical point right there. Samaria right here. Remember Jesus in John 4 talking to the woman of the well? She was a woman of Samaria. She went down and she talked to the people down Mount Gerizim. They came up. They talked with Jesus. Next thing you know, in Acts chapter 8, you have Philip, and he's going, he's preaching, and those in Samaria had great joy because they obeyed the gospel. So you have a mixture of God's people, Israel, and a mixture of heathen people. And that's what you have in John 4. And God was going to be having them saved in Acts chapter 8. He had it all in his mind. He was looking down the corridors of time. He saw this. God can see all things at one time. Verse 25, Omri did evil in the eyes of the Lord and did what? Wow. Brother Dennis, he did worse. I didn't think you could do bad as those other kings had already had done. But he did worse than the kings that were before him, friends. Is it actually possible for me to live a life, be faithful to God, and then leave the Lord and actually be worse than I was before? Mm-hmm. Here we see that he did worse than all who were before him. For he walked in all the ways of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sin by which he had made Israel sin, here's this word again, provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their idols. I put in my Bible a little note here. Idolatry is identified with Jeroboam. Jeroboam. That's just like a woman naming their daughter Jezebel. So think about that. Who in their right mind would have named their daughter Jezebel, knowing what Jezebel stands for? Nobody. To be identified with Jeroboam is to be identified with idolatry. Now the rest of the acts of Omri, verse 27, which he did, and the might that he showed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Omri rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. Then Ahab, his son, reigned in his place. Now friends, y'all thought those other kings were terrible. Ahab was horrible. Ahab, matter of fact, from 1 Kings 16 through 1 Kings 22, it's all about Ahab. We ain't going to read all that. It's all about Ahab. This man here was a horrible man. He was bad. And it's all right when a person meets these criteria to call them what God calls them. He's horrible. Let's notice some things that he did. In the 38th year, now remember, Asa reigned how many years? 41. In the 38th year of Asa, remember, third king of Judah, Ahab, seventh king of Israel, the son of Omri, became king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. Hold on. I thought that Omri did worse than all the kings that were before him. Here we have Ahab, and he did more than him. Wow. Brother Jerry, this is amazing, right? I mean, after you look at someone's life and you say, man, this guy here, man, he's a straight up heathen. That's what Omri was. He was a straight heathen. That's the way he acted. And now God tells us in his great book that Ahab did worse than him. Wow. Brethren, I don't know no other book that's going to tell you the truth like this book. I just don't know it. Now, us as people, we like sugarcoat a little some things every now and then. Depends on who it is and how much we like them and how much they're giving us. But not Jehovah. Oh, he's a good guy. He's teaching false doctrine. He's all right, though. That's not what God says. False doctrine leads people to false living. False living leads people to hell. Yes or no? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says. Maybe I need to say it softer. False doctrine leads people to false living. false living, these people will be lost. And Ahab is going to prove it to us. Friends, the more I read this and I was studying this and looking at this and going back in my mind over previous years of study, I guess maybe I'm at a different stage in life, but it hurt me more. It ought to hurt us when we know that people are either teaching false doctrine, living out false doctrine, living false ways, because this is what we see, and God left this here for us. And notice what he goes on to say. He took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal. You see, you hear that Baal in there? King of the Sidonians. Remember that Solomon took a wife of the Sidonians? Remember what God said about the Sidonians in the book of Deuteronomy? I believe it's chapter 31 in that area. Leave those folk alone, he said. And he went and served Baal and worshiped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. I'm like, wow. I got that highlighted in my Bible. I'm like, now that's crazy. That's crazy right there. Somebody give me a comment. Why is this so bad right here? Why is what Ahab did so bad? Yes.
Looking at that, like you said, he did more to provoke the Lord to anger than all the kings before him. I would like to use the scripture where everything that was written before time was written for our learning.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, he's not learning anything from the mistakes and everything.
Good point. Good point.
He's doing worse than that.
That's right. That's right. Good point. Yes, sir. Wow. That's right. What else? Great point. Both. Great point. Anyone else want to add? She said it was more intentional. You mean people intentionally sin? Intentionally bring in damnable doctrines, as Peter would say? People intentionally do that? Ignorant. Now let me go ahead and throw in this point. Y'all ready? It's a wild point, at least it is in my mind. Remember what Jeroboam did when he set up those two places of worship in Bethel and Dan, and he set up priest of his choice. Not God's priest, not from the Levitical priesthood, whose job was to do what for the people? Offer sacrifices and do what to the people? Come on now, come on, come on, come on. Teach them! Teach! Teach them what? The law. Hold on. Here you have a succession of men who are kings setting up their own priest out of any type of people who they wanted to pick. What you think they're going to teach the people? Oh, it's all right to worship Baal. It's all right to worship Ashtaroth. It's all right to, oh, that's fine. Nothing. Oh, God is pleased. Peace, peace when there is no peace. Friends, there's more to the story. So we're looking at the kings, no doubt, but you got to understand that Asa, when he got rid of all of the idols and got rid of all of the perverse individuals, the sodomites, and he got rid of all of the carved images. He got rid of all of those things. That's what the Bible says he got rid of. He put the right people in front of them according to the will of God, because God was pleased with them, and they was being taught along the way. It's important. Yeah. That's right. It's very subtle. It is. I like the words used, nonchalant. Well, I know God's word says this, but it's all right. We can do this. God didn't say we couldn't. Friends, if you're talking like that, stop. Don't talk like that. I know God's word says this, but don't talk like that. God's word says this. Do it. That simple. Jesus says in Luke 6:46, why call you the Lord, Lord, and do. Look at the next verse. I have a reference in my Bible, Joshua 6:26. In his days, Hiel of Bethel, Bethel means house of God, built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, and with his youngest son, Segub, he set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. Look at Joshua 6:26. You remember when God destroyed Jericho? And I say God because he did. And what did Joshua charge them? He charged them, verse number 26, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and build the city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and fame spread throughout all the country. At the sacrifice of his children, he built Jericho. Oh, that's some good application in there. We just don't have time. Wednesday, we're going to finish up some more of the divided kingdom. And friends, it is divided. And Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I come to divide. In 1 Corinthians 11, and verse number 19, we understand that must be factions among us, that those who are true or manifested, those who are doing the will of God are revealed. How do you know who's God's people and who are not? Those who do the will of the Lord. Jesus said, remember, they said, your mother and your brothers are outside. He said, those who do the will of my Father, those are my mother, my brother, my sister. Those who do the will of my Father. So we're going to talk more about this on Wednesday, and we're going to look at some of the things that Ahab did just a little bit, but we're going to go into the southern kingdom, and we're going to look at some of these good kings. I think we've had enough negativity for the day. I mean, it is. Can you imagine spending hours and hours and hours of looking over and imbibing all of this negativity? And it was negative. But it was right. And one thing I love about God, he always tells the truth about people. Man might not, but God will always tell the truth about people. So let us be a people who relish in the truth. May God bless you.